I guess today what I want to kind of touch upon for just a short time is that which we've experienced it even today, and granted, because of possibly where we're at in that of the spiritual, say, realm, but being understanding of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, being children of God, reconciled back to Him through the blood of Christ, being filled and being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the part. The Holy Spirit in us, leading us, guiding us, talking to us, showing us, allowing us to see these things in heaven, to see these things come down from heaven, to see heaven's angels camped about maybe on the tops of the buildings or the flames admitted at a service because of the Holy Spirit's fire is coming down. Amen. So we're aware of that, but, you know, we have been enlightened to that because we have believed, amen? We've believed. We don't doubt. And today what I want to share is man knows God already. I know we got people out there that deny God, but they're deceived. Initially, within their makeup, God says in His Word, all men know me as God. Not after they've come to know me through Jesus Christ, but that gave us that relationship of salvation. But God is saying that when I created this earth and I put everything into being and everything together in perfect order and then created man in my image and placed them there, or placed him there and then Eve beside him in the garden, God, they knew God. Adam knew God because they would hide from him, not hide from him until after they sinned, but they would have afternoons, the Spirit of God would come through the forest and they would commune and have conversations, I guess, I don't know, but God was in touch. And we hear today so much where we hear people say, well, I don't believe there's a God or there is no such thing. And our hearts need to go out to them because we would say, oh, you poor, deceived soul. Your mind has been seared. You have listened to lies. You have listened to the opposite of what God is wanting us to understand. And where we're going to go with that is just basically go to Romans 1. Romans 1, starting in verse 18. God's wrath on unrighteousness. So we know there's going to be an outpouring of wrath upon the unrighteousness. It talks about, in the Word, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess Him. It talks about there we will all be meeting the Creator, our Creator. Even those that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're all going to stand before the throne of judgment. We all are. But here we're finding out in Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, we could say, who hold down the truth and unrighteousness. And there's a lot of men and women, you know, just a lot of human beings out there that are suppressing the truth, holding down the truth, and they like to share the lies. About there is no God and there is no creator. This is a big bang thing and it all came about by an explosion, whatnot. But they're going to, who will hold down or suppress the truth in unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. So we even find people that have been shown these things begin to share lies about these things. Let's just say, because what may be known of God is manifested or evident among them. For God has shown it to them. For here it is, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. Anybody looked outside today or when you're driving out here, you looked around and saw things around you, nature and just life, you know, everything around. Creation of the world has for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse. Because although, verse 21, because although they knew God, They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became futile. Futile in their thoughts. Futile is this: empty, vain, foolish, useless thoughts, confused thoughts. Do you think there's a lot of people out there in our world today, and sometimes in our learned areas and even in science areas, that they're confused, you know? They're confused. The word describes the perverted logic and idolatrous presumption of those who do not honor God or show him any gratitude for his blessings on humanity. So let's go back. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but they became futile. In their thoughts and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and the birds, and the four-footed animals, and creeping things. It goes on and on. But what I want to look at, and what got me, is like man has an intrusive understanding that God, you know. How did these things come about? But God. How was this manufacturer created? But God. As God said, I am. I am that I am that I am. So why is God, first of all, angry at sinful people? Because they've substituted the truth about him with something from their own imagination. Verse 25, who exchanged, and that's Romans 1:25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And they worshipped and they served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Now, does that kind of tell us sometimes when we get to these people and we start worshiping and holding up, you know, the nature of things of this earth, you know, honoring and worshiping a tree, honoring or worshiping this, or look at this mountain, we're going to honor and worship this. Those all become like what? Idols, as we begin to look at those things. But we have that form of idolatry. We have that form of honoring something, but they're not honoring the Creator. They're honoring that which he created. And he's the one that created it, but they don't trust or believe or honor him or worship him. Well, rather than being tree huggers, we need to be God huggers, you know. That's what we need to be. Got a lot of tree huggers, a lot of bug protectors, and a lot of animal protectors and all that, and wrap our arms around all of these things that he created, and we've taken him out of the equation, and we're worshiping and honoring that. And that's not good. That's idolatry. That's not placing honor where honor is due, that of God. So they pushed away the truth that God has naturally revealed. So we looked at verse 25, okay? They've exchanged the truth of God for lies. It's the craziest thing how man will accept lies. But sometimes people say it in such a convincing way that you begin to believe it. And it's how you say it, and it's how you speak it. And if you can speak it with that of like of authority, people will believe it. Now, nothing against my grandkids and all that, but I've got a grandson that in the very beginning, I'd pick him up from daycare or something like that periodically, not a whole lot, but we would be getting on conversations about things. And he at that time loved dinosaurs and prehistoric things and all that. And he started listing off dinosaurs and names and what they did. And he said it in such convincing thing. He was bringing up things that I didn't even understand and believe. But it's like he said it with such conviction that I thought, wow, is that real? Here I am asking a little kid, because he had it in him that he could sound so convincing. And he is pretty smart in some of those things. He pays attention and all that. But I think some of the stuff he kind of ad-libs when he doesn't know to make it like a good story. I don't know if that takes up like from grandpa, because sometimes I might do that. I don't know. Maybe that's where it came from. But it's that understanding that they can make it sound so real and so believable that we begin to believe that lie. So anyway, why is God angry at the sinful people? Because they've submitted or substituted the truth about him with something from their own imagination. They pushed away the truth God has naturally revealed to all people in order to believe anything that will support their own, what? Self-centered lifestyles. And that's where we get into trouble. You know, God has put this stuff in us to believe and to understand him as our creator, but we, because of all that he's created in us and given us a free will, and our mind just goes a mile a minute in a lot of times, we begin to believe things and we want to support our own purposes and why we do these things. Have you ever heard people try to give a validation to why they did something? Well, I did this because of this. Because of this in my life, that's why it caused me to do this. And I'm validating my behavior. I'm validating my outcome. I'm validating whatever it is. And we are a people that like to do that. But it supports our own self-centered lifestyles. God will not tolerate sin because his nature is morally perfect. God can't tolerate sin, right? Because Jesus, when he came, what did it say about him? That he that had no sin or knew no sin became sin. We were the sin. He took our sins upon himself so that we that had sin could be made righteous before God. God does not tolerate sin. And to have him place a part of him into you, and people in the very get-go know there's a creator, and they slide from that or go into another direction and even begin to deny that, that's not good. He cannot tolerate sin because he is morally perfect. God will not tolerate or ignore willful rebellion. He does not want to remove the sin, and he wants to restore us, the sinner, back to himself. Reconciliation, amen. He is able to accomplish this as long as we, the sinner, we don't distort the truth or reject the truth. So many people distort it or they reject it. You know, you go out and you share the word of God. And pretty soon we'll get to that point. It's like, well, if man has this already intrusive understanding of a creator and God, and he's got that in all of us, why have we gone off the tracks? And if that's the case, then why do we, if he's already put that in us, why do we need to hear this? Why do we need to have pastors and evangelists and all of that? But he wants to restore the sinner. That's the love that God has for us. He is able to accomplish this as long as we don't reject the truth or that we don't distort the truth. Be sure to not suppress the truth about God so that he can continue to protect our lifestyles. That's why it is so important that we serve him. That's why we honor him. That's why we glorify him. That's why we worship him. That's why we bow down before you. That's why we ask him and invite him into our life. And that's why we get to that understanding that we are no longer our own. That God in me, I want to serve you and bring that to a realization to those around us. Continuing on and through the verses of 18 to 20, no one has an excuse for not believing in God, for God has revealed himself through that of his creation. I could, and I'm sure you could too, but I could go through shots on my phone of nature that I've taken pictures of when I've been out and about in different places that just, I notice something and it's just I look at it like, that is awesome, and snap a picture of it. I've got trees, I've got corn, I've got fields, I've got sunsets, I've got sunrises, I've got the moon at sunset and the stars. It's amazing sometimes just to look at my pictures on just like scenery pictures of the things that I see God's hand upon. We come out on Tuesday nights and earlier, of course, it was still daylight and the sun was pretty well up when we left. But now we've gotten into that time and that season to where it's beginning to be sundown and the sun is setting at the time we got at 7:45 or 8 o'clock or 8:15. And you walk out there and sometimes it's just so crisp blue or a dark blue or the red of the sun going down. Oh, boy, I need to put some of these on an overhead or something like that to... But that's where I see God's creation. That's what keeps me kind of grounded to him. I say, Lord, those are awesome. Thank you for that. But it's not hard to see God. But you've got to be looking for him. And then when you see him, you need to accept him and say, that's your creation, God. And you know, as that sun goes down there, it's going to come up over here. And there's times way back, I'd come out on this side trip road out here and get up on the hill, and I'd watch the sun come up on the east side. Take pictures of that. It's just to be seeing God's imprint on everything. It's not hard. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to believe Him. You've got to know the truth. Amen? So, I don't listen to scientists. I don't listen to these people that try to denounce the things of God, or this is just an explosion that created all this stuff, and we're just from this to that to that to this, and you know, thankfully we all came out of the water and this, that, and the other, and we had a tail at one time, and now look at us, you know, who knows? I don't buy into all that. I don't even listen to it. I don't even worry about it. But we find out that we want to suppress the truth and the things that we even know to be able to live the way we want to live for a time. I've heard times where we've shared with things to people, or you talk to people. Have you ever tried to just share that of the gospel a little bit, or just try to find out somebody's life and if they'd be interested in learning a little bit or hearing the message, and then they begin to hear it, and maybe they might not even hear it, but they had enough of an understanding. Maybe years back they were in Sunday school. I don't know. But all they know is that they want to enjoy life now, and then when they get done with life, then they'll come to God. You know, it's kind of an abbreviated way of what they say, but a lot of times it's, I enjoy what I'm doing right now, living in mischief and raising all kinds of Cain, and you know, I'm satisfying my flesh, and I'm having too much time or fun with that right now. And after I'm done growing and living a life, maybe when I get to whatever age and I need to slow down, oh, then I'll give him a try. Well, at least there's some hope down the line that you're going to come to him, maybe. But, you know, you think this is a good life that you're living now, and you know, it's that self-indulgence, that self-pleasure, that self of promoting, you know, all of these things that we want to do for ourselves and deny God. It's really hard to talk to somebody when they're that way. I'm living today for myself. It's like, well, okay. But you don't really understand it, do you? And maybe they do, but it's so far been corroded and suppressed within them from the lies and the seeing different friends and things of that nature, or whatever the case may be. The enemy will use all kinds of avenues and things to deceive the people, to keep them enjoying their selves and their own self-pleasures rather than realizing who they need to be rejoicing and lifting up and worshiping God, the Creator. Because time does come when they will answer for that. And depending upon where they're at in those answers, they're going to have consequences to suffer. So if we already know and have a knowing of God, why do we need missionaries? Why do we need, you know, pastors and evangelists? It's this. Although people know that God exists, the wickedness in their life blinds them to the truth. It just blinds them to the truth. And God sends you across their path. And if we here today, being that of the Holy Spirit filled within us, He's probably using us as like a heat-seeking missile or a possible, you know, a tracking missile to cross that person's path. And He prompts you to share maybe that of a good word. Talk to them about their life. Maybe give you what? Possibly words of knowledge of some sort to say, may I share this with you? And I don't know you, but this is what I sense. And I don't mean any disrespect or whatever, but God is showing me this about your life and what you're going through. And if God is showing you that, I'm going to tell you, you will be 100% right on the mark of what that person is going through. Because God is using that as a hook to get that person to say, listen, you've been running from me all of these years. And God knows what you're going through right now. And I just want to share this, this, and this is taking place in your life. But God says you've turned away from Him so many times when He's been ready to receive you, but you've gone on to other things in your life. And He's here to tell you today that He's still here for you and He wants you to come to Him. All of a sudden, that person hears that, and what do? Bust down in tears or falls on their knees? I don't know. But I would imagine if I had something going on in my life and somebody that I didn't know come to me and tell me some things about me going on, I would probably hit the floor, you know, and say, wow, this is God, you know. There is a God. God does know. God does care. God does have an answer. God does have a way. Because all of these things in the last 6 months I've been saying, there is no God. There is no way. There is no plan. I have no purpose. And this man or this woman just came across and said, God says he has my plan and his purpose and his reasons for me. And all of a sudden it starts coming together. And maybe you're coming into that person's life to where they begin to start believing the truth of God and all the lies and the dissension of this world that has been piling on for so many years is slowly being pushed aside, and this person begins to understand that there is more to this life and that there is a loving God and a caring God and a comforting God and a peace-giving God and a loving God, all of these things. So although people know God exists, the wickedness in their lives blinds them to this truth. And people will make a statement to the fact they know about God, but they refuse to commit serving or believing in him right now. Why is that? You talk about someone being so deceived and so distorted in their contemplating things that they know it. They know it's the truth, but I don't want to take it. It's like, what in the world is going on in you? Well, the enemy really has a hold of them, don't they? It's like, man. But they refuse to commit themselves to him. There's a lot of reasons. I think some of them just kind of, they always like to play the church card, though. And rightfully so, sometimes the church or the community of the believer, maybe there are some purposes and reasons of why that happened. But I know you hear a lot because of a past hurt from a church, a past hurt from a pastor or leaderships or somebody in the church or the church in general, whatever the case might be, they felt like they've been hurt, and so they've just left the church. And then they leave the church and they leave God, and they get out there, and pretty soon they're just far removed from the things of God. So I don't know. You find it somewhat interesting when you deal with people, talk to people, but if we look at God's word, it's like we go out there. That's why I like to, if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, you first pray and say, Lord, if I'm going to go to so-and-so's house, and if we can get the subject turned around to talking about you, and Lord, I know they, from my understanding, I don't think they've got Jesus as their Lord and Savior, open up an opportunity for us to share that and bring forth conversations and allow this to take place. And by the Holy Spirit in me then, you know, the Holy Spirit, and Lord, lead me by that of the Holy Spirit. And it talks about then Lord, he will go to that person. Well, he's already there because he's everywhere. But I'm just saying that then God is hearing my prayer about, Lord, I'm going to go see this person and open up an opportunity, an avenue for us to share, or for me to share the things of you for their life. And as he's hearing my prayer and he's saying, that's what I want you to do, he's dropping something into that person's spirit, even though they're removed from him. He's opening up something in their spirit, in their heart, in their mind, or something that says, when you go to talk to them, they're going to say, you know, I want to hear about that today. Hadn't wanted to hear it for the last 25 or 30 years, but today I want to hear. Because I've been so sealed off and blocked off, and I had a wall built around me that I didn't want to hear nothing about God. But because of us being obedient, being led by the Holy Spirit, by us already understanding that it's not us going to go there and make the whole, we're not going there to make the sale. It's not, you're not selling vacuum cleaners door to door. You're not selling, back in the days, you know, encyclopedia, world books, and Britannicas door to door. We're not a salesman. We're going to just share, and God has already prepared that person. If you truly do it by the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you just go out on anywhere and just start sharing and spreading and talking and trying to have people say a prayer and all that, a lot of times they'll just do that to shut you up and get you out of their way, and hopefully it'll take, or if nothing else, God knows, and he'll take that maybe, and sometime down the road, there'll be a true benefit from that. Planting a seed, whatever it might be. But God will prepare the people. There are people everywhere out here already has an understanding of creation and that there is a God. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. I feel like sometimes we go out there and we think we've got to sell people on God. We've got to give them all the benefits, all the perks. You know, hey, join this club, the Christian club, and here's what your perks are, you know, a free night stay. Well, maybe we ought to come up with a card of perks, you know. Eternity, forever, where you're going to go, you know, things of that nature. People are looking for those perks, for those extra things. Bonus points. What's our bonus points if we receive Christ today? Is there bonus points if we receive Christ on a Sunday, the Lord's Day? No. But, you know, people are out there, and we got to look at it, being led by the Holy Spirit, because they already have an understanding that God, distortion, lies may have moved them from the understanding, but we just have to break through that or allow, of course, the Holy Spirit does that. So just as important that nature, we've talked about that, reveals God through creation, people still need to hear about Jesus. See, we see creation out there and we go, because how many times do you talk to somebody and they go, oh, I believe in God. I know there's a God. I know there's a creator. And that's good. Amen. There's that first part there. You know, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen and understood by these things and they're by these people because we've been created by him. But you go, well, what about his son, Jesus? And we've shared that many times before where some will continue to listen, some will shut you down. But they need to hear about Jesus and how through him they can have that relationship who? With God. To bring him back into that replay and that position to with God, reconciling us. There's not a whole lot to really, it's not hard to share about God. Because we can share about what's around here and how do you think these things all came about and look at the perfection of this and the flowers and the petals and everything. And here's another thing, just look at the intricate things of nature. My goodness, trying to talk to them about Jesus kind of make them shift in the saddle a little bit. What about this Jesus? And they need to hear that they can have, and they need to have that personal relationship because Jesus says that no one cometh unto the Father except through him. So you may know God. You may even know the scriptures. You may know all kinds of stuff, which is well and good, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life? Have you asked to be forgiven of your sins? Just knowing God and reading the Bible isn't good enough to get to heaven, you know? It's having that personal relationship. Well, with who? With Jesus, the Son, the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they need to hear about Jesus, have that relationship with Jesus, to have that relationship with God. We hear people say, well, I know there's a God and he exists, but that's not enough. They need to hear that God is loving, forgiving, that he sent Jesus to demonstrate his love. And so we need to share that to tell the people that sin can be forgiven and they can have a life that is fulfilled with that of God. It is so hard at times because for some reason people out there believe that, not all, because they know there's hypocrites in the churches and all of it, sometimes they believe that, well, you are so, I'm such a sinner that there's nothing that God can do to, yes there is, the blood of Christ can cleanse that from you. People try to think like they're the chief sinner and all like that. And I said, well, think about Paul when he said, I'm the chiefest of the sinners and all. Look what Christ did in his life. Or look what God did in his life through that of Christ and what he did for the moving of Christianity around that area after the Lord was accepted into heaven or ascended into heaven. Then the church was born, the Holy Spirit came down, and then everything began to roll into that of spreading of that of the gospel. So today I just want us to be aware that the people already know God. We just need to go out there and show them the love of God because they don't see love in the world. We've got to go out there and show them and speak to them in truth and not in lies and deception because that's what the world does, lies and deception, smokes and mirrors and things of that nature. We got to let them know that there's a difference between religion and relationship. There's a difference between going to church and a denomination and being a child of God. Amen. That we don't want to obey and follow man's rules and man's mandates how to get yourself into a relationship with Christ or with God, but that's already been done through that of Christ, through the blood, through the cross, through the atonement of the blood and the sins, and but for the cross, you know, we have that salvation. It's not in a denomination. It's not in a church. It's not in our bylaws. It's not in anything that we have. It's already done. It's a done deal. We just need to spread the truth. And the truth will set them free. They're locked and bound to the things of this world, to lies, deceptions, and misinformation. All the things that we see are that created by God. And there's been a lot of distortions and distruths out there. And, of course, the fall of man and when sin came in, it just distorted everything and just made everything kind of go a little crazy for sure. But the life in the world out there truly is that of people just in a time of distortion and just not knowing which is which. It kind of, I guess, thinking back and seeing this past week with some of the stories and or things on TV, whether it's on the History Channel or National Geographic and all, with the 9/11 and revisiting all those images of the towers and the situations when they came down. And you think of the cloud that emitted when all of that rubble came down and it just saturated that umpteen blocks around there. The cameras are rolling and you could see this cloud coming at you and you couldn't see anything in the cloud. That cloud would encompass the camera and everything there, and it was just like turning the lights off here. Everything went black. Lord, you know, you could look at all kinds of these things, but you look at those things, and I look at that, and I think of that as sometimes how the cloud of dissension comes, how the truth is distorted, how man is out there, and the God of this world has this big cloud that just comes and involves or envelops around these, and you don't have vision, you can't see. You couldn't even see if you're going which way you're going, I don't think. You just had to stop and wait for the thing to clear after how many minutes. And it just kept going and going. As they said back then, it was like America has not been the same since. 18 years ago, America has totally changed from what it had been. For the safety and the security and all that we had prior to 9/11, we felt we were pretty safe and everything was going well. But you find how vulnerable you are when there's an enemy out there that's willing to do whatever, and if they try to figure out what they can do and they accomplish it, what it accomplishes. I don't know. I think of that, and then I think like, prior to that, everything was perfect, so to speak, okay? Think of perfect. I think of that of the garden and the creation. Everything was perfect. Life was good. Adam and Eve, they would commune with God in the cool of the breeze in the afternoon and have a conversation. And then once sin came in, it was like that cloud came in and it just distorted everything. And pretty soon they all of a sudden realized, we've got to get some fig leaves on because we're naked. And then they heard the Lord coming through and they knew what was coming and they knew they'd done something wrong and they had to hide, but who can hide from God? Today people can't hide from God even though they're trying to hide from God. We're all clothed with clothing and all. We're hiding from God. We can put on a costume of I'm okay and everything's good and I'm a good this and that and I'm fine. But you're just an illusion, you know. But when that happened in the garden, it's like that of the cloud of, sad to say, like, whew, in New York when that building fell, it just, everything changed. Everything changed. Wasn't dust on the flowers and all, but kind of like in the spiritual thing, I could see it like that, you know. Because of the residue of the buildings when they came down, it just covered everything under that chalky white gray. What was once beautiful, colorful, multicolor, all became a shade of gray, powdery, looked like that of probably like the moon or something. Sin comes into the world back then in the garden because of that. And a lot of the beauty that was there is disoriented and all. And so there's just a lot of ways, and you know, I'm way out there in left field on these things as far as thinking about these things, but I try to ask God and look at these things in the natural and how things developed and how it kind of pertains to some of the things that he speaks of in his word. And I think it's like that then when he sent Jesus to take the sins and that away from people and to bring them back into that relationship with him. That all of that yuck and muck in our lives is gone and we can stand before him in a way that we've been changed, amen? Changed because of receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Our old clothing that we were wearing, you know, has now changed, you know, hallelujah, as we receive Christ. We got back into that right relationship that started even way back at the foundation of the earth and our lives. We were in heaven before we were sent here, you know. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. These type of things, you know, as God sends us forth. But anyway, it just gives us an understanding that man knows of God. I don't think we can stand before him if we don't have him and receive him and say, well, I didn't know there was a God. Because I'm sure in that judgment day, he's going to say, yes, you did. And you're not going to be able to get one through him or by him. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that we have had an enlightening into our lives in some way, somehow, through some individual, through a ministry, through an altar call, through just a time with you, Lord, in prayer. I don't know, but somewhere along the line, we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we began to be enlightened of the greater things of you, Father. And even before that, Lord, before I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, Lord, I knew you were there. I knew there was a God. I prayed to you, God. I didn't go to church. I didn't have any relationship with that direction or with that level. But even in my young life as a child and into my early teens, I prayed when things happened in my family that I knew that needed an answer. I said, God, I cried out to you, God. And I thank you for your mercy that you, I believe, heard me, because some of those prayers that I prayed, the person or the things that I was praying about did not come about, and I trust that was you, Father. I believe it was you. And so I knew of you, God, but I didn't know you, God. I didn't know I could have a personal relationship. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit wanted to reside in me, so that I could communicate with you and you could communicate with me day in and day out. That's the relationship that you wanted. In the early life of mine, Lord, I just wanted a relationship that when I needed something, I'd call out to you and turn it over to you. And by your grace and mercy, I believe you were there because of the love that you had for me. But I am so thankful, Lord, that later on that I grasped a hold of the truth. Through your scriptures, through your word, through a pastor that shared something, or through someone that's ministered something into my life. I there's so many ways, Lord, and things that I can think back that did touch my life in a way that began for me to begin to become more interested and try to find an understanding in all of this. And I trust that was like that for many of us here today, that you desired a personal relationship, and that was developed through that of Jesus Christ. You had all of this set up already, Lord, because I was certainly born many years after Jesus hung on the cross and died and now is at the right hand of you. But what was accomplished then is still accomplishing today what it was set forth to do. And it's for those of today to continue to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and to have their lives changed, to have a new step, a freshness, a spring in their step. But I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I pray now, Lord, for those ahead of us, Lord, that we come into contact with, that we could go out with an understanding that, okay, they have an understanding of you, God. They know there's a God, a creator. But, Lord, that you would give us the words to say that would bring forth a change in their life for the good. Let us do it in love. Let us do it with compassion. Let us do it not with judging or scolding, our browbeating, but let us walk and move and talk and show our actions of that of love, tenderness. We just want to honor you, God, and glorify you, Father. We know how important it is for everyone to have that relationship with you through that of Jesus Christ. But do they know? May we have the words to tell them, to share with them. And would you prepare them, Lord, ahead of our conversations, Lord? We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen.